Hi, and welcome to the RPG Academy's Show and Tell. Show and Tell is a show where we like to bring on somebody in the RPG space and talk about something cool they're working on. I'm Mo, and today we're talking to Linda Cadega, co-founder of the TTRPG website, Rascal.News.
So, my name is Linda Cadega. I also go by Lynn online. I am mostly an entertainment journalist, and I've been going into arts and culture, and specifically, I'm focusing on tabletop role-playing games, which is how Rascal came around. Rascal News is a worker-owned, writer-led tabletop role-playing game news outlet.
Nice.
Yeah, I think so. I'm having a good time with it.
I want to talk a lot more about Rascal because compared to the board game side of the business, there's not a lot of news that gets out about TTRPGs. But how'd you get into TTRPGs, and why are you interested in this? What's your nerdy origin story?
So there's like two points of defection for the nerdy origin story. One is when I was like 9 or 10, and I saw two films in theaters at this very formative age. One of those films was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why my father thought it was appropriate to bring a 9-year-old child to go see Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but he did, and apparently I loved it so much, we went a second time. So that was the first point. Second point was when I went to go see The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, for the first time in theaters. And it was like those two pieces of media did something to my brain chemistry that permanently altered me forever. So I had always been a pretty voracious reader. And my parents, especially my father, was very much into Star Wars, science fiction, fantasy. So I was already like in that sphere. And then it was like those two films back to back that really just like solidified it for me. Nerdy forever.
Nice. Yeah. Wuxia martial arts are amazing. And
yes,
like, I think it's definitely a slept on kind of subculture in a lot of places in the United States.
I agree. I love Wuxia and Zansha, like all like those really fantastic, elevated, like romantic brutality, like that sort of glorious violence. I'm just like, ugh, can't get enough. It's good.
It's funny because I remember going to New York for the first time and going to Harlem. And they're back in the 90s, they used to sell bootleg DVDs of Shaw Brothers films. And that was kind of my first introduction to Wuxia martial arts. You know, there was definitely that heavy-handed romance and then the cool fighting that was absolutely ridiculous. And I was in for all of it.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings, well, that's a cornerstone text of the nerd genre.
Fundamental. It's just so good. So yeah, that's really where my nerdiness was solidified forever, I feel. With regards to tabletop role-playing games, I can point at asynchronous freeform forum role-playing as my like origin into tabletop role-playing games, which occurred, I think, starting around the same time because there were forums online that were basically dedicated to role-playing in certain fandoms. So Harry Potter, Avatar Last Airbender, Naruto, the sort of like X-Men was also big back then. Definitely was in a couple X-Men forums. Mm-hmm. So that's where I can point to like, oh yeah, I love role-playing games, specifically like with other people where we're creating this like intense, multifaceted collaborative world together. And then I had one session of Dungeons and Dragons in college, and as like a femme presenting person, it went real bad. And I decided like, never doing that again. But I still really loved role-playing games just in general. And then a few years after college, I played in like a good Dungeons and Dragons game with like fifth edition that was like much more streamlined and not quite 3.5. And from there, I was like, okay, I get the tabletop thing. Let's find a different game. And then I went into the next couple of games that I found were two Powered by the Apocalypse games, which were Masks and Monster of the Week.
Yay!
Yeah, and then I was hooked. I was like, that's it. These are great. I love them so much. Games, games, games.
Nice. Yeah. I am a huge fan of Monster of the Week.
Me too.
I think it does an elegant thing very well.
It's a brilliant game.
I'm definitely putting up the straw man here. Okay.
Hit me.
Why does there need to be a TTRPG news site?
Because it is an incredible art form that is still very nascent and still very much in the start of its development in a lot of ways. I mean, it's kind of like, imagine in the 70s, if you're like, why are you writing about television? Like saying that in the 70s or the 80s is just, that's kind of the same thing for tabletop, right? Like we're still figuring out what tabletop is. We're still trying to like break away from our roots. It's like a time of real change that's very interesting and very productive. And I think it's really worth talking about. I also think that games and the fundamental playfulness of games is very much intrinsic to the human nature, where we're like, we have the inherent desire to be playful and the inherent desire to seek joy and that inherent desire to be curious within ourselves and be and explore ourselves as these sort of like emergent, playful, imaginative, creative beings. And I think tabletop role-playing games is one of those very, very few places where you fundamentally create a ritual container that you can go into and come out of and like be playful. Like it's giving you permission to access that part of yourself that is often very much shut away when you grow older and you start to decide like, no, I'm going to be like a serious person. I'm going to take myself seriously. And I just think that tabletop role-playing games are really neat and there should be more people writing about them and talking about them and experimenting within the genre. And I like that. And they're cool.
Just for the record, I absolutely agree on all of those.
Points.
And you know, it's funny, growing up, I really wanted to be a journalist and, I definitely think that's kind of part of my call and interest in doing this particular podcast.
Right. But
I was dyslexic and every time I wrote something down, people reminded me of that in the days before spell check.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
What is the editorial like push of Rascal? Because I hear so many sub-communities of RPGs that talk a lot about what is going on in their bubble. And you can easily go to another game store, go down the street to another cafe, to a convention, and realize a lot of people look at these tabletop role-playing games in very different ways to do very different things. So what are you talking about when Rascal is talking about games?
Very good question. So I think that you're basically asking about not only our editorial remit, but also how we determine whether or not something is newsworthy. And I think that when it comes to newsworthiness, the fundamental idea is that something is newsworthy if it's out of the ordinary. And how we as journalists think of what is, again, air quotes, I'm sorry, I know this is an audio medium, but I'm using air quotes here.
Yes,
is normal and what is not normal is very objective. And we have to, as journalists, try and find different ways to judge newsworthiness. more so than just like something is out of the ordinary, therefore it's newsworthy. So we are looking at things that push the art forward, the people that have worked on a lot of projects that are interesting and might have fascinating things to say about their experiences. We are looking at the games that are coming out now that say something about the culture, not only the tabletop role-playing game culture, but like culture in general, and figuring out how to align those. And yeah, we're just, our editorial remit is what we like about games and some and what we think is interesting about this industry. Like there was a really great piece that Chase Carter wrote and published on Friday that was basically about how Chris Cox, the CEO of, I believe, Wizards of the Coast.
Hasbro.
Hasbro CEO.
I know this because I'm looking at your webpage.
Yeah, Hasbro CEO. About how he's doing this sort of like interview circuit about Wizards of the Coast and Dungeons and Dragons. And the veneer of when he was first installed, he was, you know, the gamer CEO. Like he played Dungeons and Dragons. Everyone was sort of really excited because there was sort of this idea that he would fundamentally protect this game and that sort of container. And over the past, you know, year or so of like media appearances by this CEO, I'm just like, me and Chase like have been watching it and just been like, this man is only concerned with playing investors. Like his game is no longer D&D. His game is now C-suite. And like, we need to stop. So this really great analysis of Chris Cox through his various media appearances and how that reflects on Dungeons & Dragons and Hasbro as a company. So we do stuff like that. That's like the sort of analytics of the industry. I did the sort of deep dive where I followed the money and I found links between Dungeons & Dragons and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
So that was fun. That was very exciting. By exciting, I mean very stressful to email Dungeons and Dragons and be like, did you guys know that you're profiting off of Saudi money? No response. And yeah, I interviewed a designer of this like new game from Magpie Games. Their name is Whistler. They wrote Rapscallion. And they just had really fascinating things to say about games as queer deviation from the norm. And it's just like, games are so cool, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Games are so cool. So we just like write whatever we want. And eventually, like we occasionally write about the news.
Nice. I love it. I ask because, you know, some listeners will know I've published a couple of TTRPGs and one of the things that, especially once you start stepping into the indie space, the Monster of the Weeks, the Blades in the Darks of it all, you'll find that a lot of people just want to play the regular kind, which is D&D. And they just want to talk about the regular kind, which is D&D. And, you know, they will really want to, like, for them, I could see news about belonging outside belonging games as being irrelevant. And, you know, D&D puts out enough content that, I mean, and it makes such a large amount of money. Like, it moves the needle in how the business works.
It is the needle.
It is the needle in how the business works. How do you distinguish what is interesting from what's important? I guess that's kind of something I'm pushing back a little because you are talking about doing something I think is really interesting and exciting. I think it's really interesting because if I were trying to do this, I'd be afraid that the whole horse wouldn't fit in my mouth. Yeah, and then I'd be really curious about who my audience is. So I guess that's kind of what I'm asking.
Absolutely. So I think that our audience is primarily right now people who are creators in the industry, whether they're writers, designers, authors, AP producers, podcasters, the people who understand the industry and like know about it beyond just the D&D of it all. That is our main audience, and that's sort of like what we have decided. Like, we are talking to people who know what a role-playing game is, right? When you see any sort of publication cover tabletop role-playing games, they have to spend like 2 to 3 paragraphs explaining what tabletop role-playing games are,
explaining
what D&D is, explaining what other people are doing in like contrast to D&D. And we're like, no, we're not doing that. Everyone here knows what a tabletop role-playing game is. Like, we're treating our audience with a level of authority. Like, we are sort of saying to the audience, like, we know that you know what we're talking about here. So it's definitely daunting in a way that like most people only know about Dungeons and Dragons and only play Dungeons and Dragons because they're, you know, 90% of the market share or something ridiculous like that, something like an incredibly high number. And so we talk about Dungeons and Dragons and we talk about the industry at large. And I think that we're hoping that as we sort of bring in readers from across the tabletop sphere, because the tabletop is becoming diversified really fast, people are sort of starting to realize that Dungeons and Dragons isn't the only game. And as that happens, we are sort of hoping to be there to catch them when they want a deeper dive into things. So unfortunately, when Dungeons and Dragons fucks up, that will always be important, right? That will always be something that like we have to cover. And that's fine. We have made our peace with that. We're like, we will have to cover Dungeons and Dragons. But I think that it's also really important to cover things that are interesting and niche and kind of silly and kind of fun, like the Rapscallion game. I wrote like a personal blog about how I was playing this game called Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined, which is basically like you have to pick a character from an established franchise and play that character in this sort of like a Kingdom Hearts style mashup game. So I was playing Magic Mike in a interstitial game. And I was still like, I could not get silly. I couldn't be goofy. I couldn't be like a goofy little guy. I was very much like, let's get some brewskis and talk this out. Like, I'm literally a man standing there in like almost assless chaps with like a cowboy hat. I'm just like, yeah, man, what's up? Like, that was my vibe. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me?
But you said you couldn't get silly.
I was very much like the straight man in a comedy film that everyone else was able to be, because I was playing with the guy who was Timmy Turner from The Fairly Odd Parents, and then another person who was like a living Bratz doll. Okay. And I was the one who was like the comedy straight man. Anyway, so I wrote a personal blog about I'm scared of vulnerability. Here's how that expresses itself through like tabletop role-playing games.
Right.
So it's fun. But yeah, nice. we do a lot of stuff that's like, we have to show that there's like a huge breadth of things that we can cover. We don't just have to cover D&D. We can also like talk about our experiences at the gaming table and why that's important or relatable or interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I have a possibly controversial question for you.
Hit me.
We spoke off air, and I told you I took umbrage. I didn't record on this podcast that I took umbrage that I see a tabletop, a actual play, and a culture and community tab. I don't see a podcast tab on your news site. And I think podcasts are news, but maybe I'm biased.
I mean, it would be.
But the question is, are you going to talk about Kickstarters?
Yeah, we talk about Kickstarters all the time. Like the piece I just published, the Rapscallion piece, is about a Kickstarter. We have a whole announcement section that is very much very Kickstarter friendly that we've opened to the general public. So basically people can email us at press@rascal.news and get access to the site and basically are allowed to publish their announcements.
Okay.
On this section of the site. Like we have Morning Ritual, which is another like a podcast/streaming interview show that happens every Saturday. Mm-hmm. They publish their announcement on Rascal every week with who they're interviewing.
Okay.
So yeah, so we have like space on the site for community announcements, like community press releases. And yeah, we just, when we talk to people who are doing that kind of work, we often put it in community. For example, the Rowan Zioli did a really great interview with Eric Silver, who is a pretty prolific podcaster and is a producer. And we put it in actual play. But it is mostly about like podcasting and doing this kind of like interview style new like citizen journalism.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll buy that. So going back to the Kickstarter part, because I know a lot of our listeners will be interested in that. And some of our listeners will want to stay away from that. is that a free service you offer?
Yeah, so the announcement section is completely free. It's free to use and it's free to access. It is completely open to the public. There's not a member wall. There's not a paywall. It really is just sort of a log of cool community press releases, you know, Kickstarters that are happening, new seasons of actual play shows, you know, weekly guests on talk shows. What else do we have? You know, new releases, community programs that we've done. Some people have like put out casting calls on the site.
Oh, wow.
It's basically anything you could think of. If it's like tabletop related, like we will happily publish it. The way that it works is you guys get access to the back end of the site, like a very personal dashboard, like a WordPress CMS dashboard, and you submit a draft. And then a Rascal, usually me, will go in and make sure that it's like appropriate, which we've never seen an inappropriate announcement. But just in case,
sounds like you're asking for it, Linda.
I know. But like, just in case we go through, like, okay, this is like totally fine. Nothing bad is here. And then we schedule it, and that's that. But yeah, totally free to use, free to access. That's kind of our. One of the things that we're doing that we are sort of building out as kind of a public good, you know, we know that we're hoping that it like encourages people to support us, our journalism, but we hope that it is used and is useful for people who are just interested in what's going on in the space.
Gotcha. You say you're talking, this is kind of for creators and people who are interested in the business. Are you talking about like stuff that goes on at Gamma? Are you talking about stuff that happens like to the level of the friendly local game store? Like how does that show up?
Yeah, so we would love to be able to go to Gamma. It wasn't in the cards this year because we are still like a brand new company and that costs money and we don't have it.
Right.
But one of the things that I did while I was writing for IO9 is I covered the Hex and Co. Unionization effort in New York City. So if another story like that came along where like three or four local game stores were, you know, combining forces to unionize, I would absolutely write about that.
Right.
Chase as well has a lot of experience as a union, as a labor reporter. And I believe that he is pursuing a story right now that's like a labor story. So we would happily publish stuff like that. What else? Yeah, we're going to Gen Con. We're going to be talking to a bunch of people there. We're going to be reporting from the front lines of that convention. We're probably going to go to PAX Unplugged because that's pretty local for a couple of us. Yeah, so it's a lot of just deep dives into niche parts of an already very niche industry.
Right, right. And I'm just, like I said, I feel like there's a whole horse. Are you getting into the gossip? You know, the who is kicked out of the cool kids club, the who was toxic at what convention, you know, all, are you collecting all the stuff off of Twitter?
There's two answers to this. The first answer is that I'm a journalist because I love gossip. I love it. There's a part of me that's just like, yes, I'm collecting all this gossip. But there's also a part of me where, or there's a part of the sort of like real answer is that like we are keeping track of a lot of that stuff, but it is not necessarily worth covering. In a lot of ways, Twitter acts as a fourth estate in itself, as sort of like a noise machine. So if like, for example,
don't name any names, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of instances is that like when it comes out on Twitter, it is already the cycle on Twitter is already doing a lot of the job that a journalist would usually take on in the space, right?
Okay. I mean, I can't 100% agree because it gets really shouty.
It does.
Just because people are shouting doesn't mean they're telling the truth.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things is like, if we don't feel like we're going to add to the conversation, we are not going to cover it. And we're also not going to cover it just because a lot of people are talking about it. We are really trying to make sure that when we look at what we want to cover, what we want to talk about, we do so with consideration towards the potential harm that it might engender, and also a sort of thoughtful, nuanced look at like, what are we actually doing here? Who are we serving? What audience wants to read this? Who, like, what are we actually doing whenever we publish an article? And in that sense, a lot of the stuff that happens on Twitter that is related to interpersonal harm is not really something that we are capable of covering with integrity, because it can often be very emotionally fraught, very messy, very hard to parse and understand. And we feel that as journalists, unless there's like a very specific reason for us to be talking about it, we are not going to write an article that's just about whatever gossip is happening on Twitter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, there is a point where it's like, if it becomes too big that we have to talk about it, maybe then we'll consider it. But the only time that has ever really happened, and this is something that's like very public and very big, is like a couple of years ago when there were cases going through a court.
Right.
Like we can report on a...
When things get to court, it's
a different level, right? So when that happened, we were able to look at it, assess like, okay, we didn't really want to talk about this when it was just people talking. Do we want to talk about it now that it's lawyers talking? And that's
public dollars are being spent to adjudicate this situation. The public deserves to know.
Right. So you know, there's always a lot of levels to consideration for what we cover, especially when it's a topic that can be difficult and interpersonal and loud, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's just that. We have to figure out what to write about.
It's a lot. I mean, like, I think this industry is so interesting in its diversity. It's so interesting in its kind of obscurity. It's so interesting in, like, the fact that a couple people are making a buck, and then there are a lot of people just handing a buck around from friend to friend. You know, like, it's a really interesting space. And I don't know how much of that counts as news, but it's certainly interesting.
That's one of the reasons why so much of our news is like, here's what people are creating, here's what people are working on, here's what Hasbro is fucking up this week. You know, mm-hmm. the sort of like mainstay staples of this industry are like the cool things that people are doing, and then every now and then industry news.
Right.
And we're all three of us, the three co-founders, which are me, Rowan Zioli, and Chase Carter, are all working on like long form reported projects, mm-hmm. which we're all really excited about. So doing that sort of like deep investigative dive into the industry is very worthwhile, but definitely takes a lot of time and consideration and involves separating a lot of the gossip from the stories that aren't being told online, the stories that aren't being, you know, shouted at on Twitter.
Right. Right. I can only say God bless you.
I mean, I like it. I like doing deep dives. I like doing deeply reported stories. I like talking to people. Like same thing with what you said earlier, where you want to feel out what people are talking about when they talk about what they do. And I'm very much the same way. And I am working on a couple pieces right now that I hope will be really good when they come out.
Right. Now, looking at your site,
yeah,
I notice it says tabletop. Does this include board games?
It does not. So right now we're using tabletop to just mean tabletop role playing, mm-hmm. but we are not shutting the door on covering board games or card games, mm-hmm. But it is not our focus. But we've put tabletop there because we know that it's like a more general term for role-playing board games, card games. But we are currently focusing a lot of our energy on role-playing games specifically.
Yeah, I think, my opinions don't necessarily matter, but I think this is so awesome. I think this is a very cool and interesting, necessary, like, element. I've been to a lot of conventions like Metatopia, mm-hmm. where you can really learn about the business and kind of the players of the industry. And, you know, like, I've also talked to my friendly local game store owner about what really works and what really don't. So I think there's so many products coming out. There's so many people involved.
Yeah.
There's so many businesses that are getting like Silicon Valley money to run role-playing game companies. And that's weird. So like it's there's definitely a need for the news, and I thank you for filling it. As a podcaster, just promoting the whole need for the podcast channel on your site.
Fair enough.
You mentioned that there's a Saturday morning breakdown of news stories. Is that what you said?
No, so Morning Ritual, which is a morning talk show that is hosted on Saturdays, they are using the announcement section to
gotcha. Oh, sorry, I thought they were affiliated with Rascal.
No, but we do, if you sign up to be a member, even at the free level, because we have we're doing a tiered membership program where it's like you can pay $5 a month, $12 a month, or $75 a month, depending on like what level of support you want to give us. But we also have a free level. And if you sign up for the free level, you can also sign up for our newsletters. One of them goes through all of the articles that we publish every week, and one of them highlights some of the highlights from the announcement section every week.
Nice.
Yeah. But those are available for the free at the free tier.
You beat me to it. What other ways can people support Rascal if they really want to see this succeed?
Honestly, the two biggest ways are to give us money and share our articles.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of money for advertising, so our marketing program is literally just us begging people to like us and share our stuff. So
you're not running ads?
No, we don't have Rascal's totally independent. We have no advertisers, we have no investors, we have no public funding. It is literally only reader supported.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So definitely like the $5 a month tier is really wonderful. That gives you access to every article except the Lay It on the Table articles, which are once a week. We publish a article specifically for the $12 and $75 tiers, which is about our personal experiences at our personal gaming tables.
Oh, okay. So well, there it's we really go. Fun. And do you have the NPR style tote bags yet?
We have no money. We have no money. We really want to have some merch available at Gen Con. So we're talking to a couple places that will allow us to purchase on credit and then pay back as we sell.
Right, right.
Because we are such a small newsroom and we are working towards this sort of like worker owner co-op structure. There are places that are willing to like give us the benefit of the doubt when it comes to like those sorts of arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hopefully by Gen Con we'll have some like a cool tote bag or a Rascal t-shirt or like a Rascal pin.
Nice.
We'll see.
I like it. I am so rooting for Rascal to, periodically printed periodical.
That'd be sick. That'd be very cool. Honestly, right now, we would like to pay rent. Our goals right now are literally like number one, pay rent, and number two, hire someone else.
Yay.
Those are our like wildest dreams right now.
Well, I am rooting for Rascal, and I hope our listeners want to support too. Is there any other way that people can get in touch with Rascal besides rascal.news?
Yeah, so obviously following us on, we have a couple different social media handles. There's @rascal_news on Twitter. There's Rascal News on Blue Sky. We are Rascal_news on TikTok. And those are the big ones where we are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want to like get in touch with me directly, you can email me lynn@rascal.news. And I will answer your email. But yeah, if you have, you know, a tip, a story, an interview request, if you just want access to like the announcement section of the site, you can email me and I will set you up, or I will set up an interview, or I will investigate whatever evil deeds you bring me.
Dum, dum, dum.
I am a bulldog. Love a story.
We need more RPG news. That's for sure.
There's so much out there. Like, I was so surprised when I was like, yeah, like it'll like, we'll be busy, but like, we'll have to look for stories. And then I started this with me and the two other rascals are like, Oh, no, there's plenty of news. What were we thinking? Like, there's too much news, actually.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Well, those are all the questions I have. Thank you so much for joining us, Linda.
Thanks, Mo. It was fun.
Looking forward to hearing more from Rascal.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast. We do this show out of love for the hobby and the desire to be ambassadors, welcoming more people into this community. All of our website content will always be free to use and utilize. But there are expenses related to the show, and if you enjoy what we do here, then please consider supporting us in some way. You can do so as simply as rating or reviewing us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. If you're going to purchase anything through Amazon or DriveThruRPG, consider using our affiliate links first, and then we'll get a small percentage sent back to us. You can do a single direct donation through PayPal using the paypal.me/TheRPGAcademy, or consider joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/TheRPGAcademy. And for a donation as low as $1 a month, you'll get access to lots of extra goodies, including bonus minisodes, invites to monthly one-shot games, one-sheet adventures, and more. Please consider following us on Twitter and Facebook, or join our Discord, where we like to try to keep the conversation going with our fans as best we can, and are always looking to talk and chat more. Or do none of that. Just continue to listen and enjoy our show, because honestly, that's enough. Thanks, and remember, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. We'll see you next time. Music used for our intro and outro is Fly a Kite by Spectacular Sound Productions, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.